I'm guessing you can all hear. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul opened or closed all of his epistles with that grace. Today we're talking about grace and generosity, two of the characteristics, the traits of God. And God is all things, but above all, we want to give thanks for His grace, the gift of grace that we might be here and that we might have life and we might have life eternal because of what He's done on the cross. And that generosity, that exquisite grace and generosity is what we want to talk about today. And in parables, again, parables, what a wonderful thing that Jesus has done for us. A third of his teaching, approximately, is in parables. And each of us, I missed last week, I was traveling, and there's a parable in that somewhere, and I'm writing it right now. In fact, I love parables. Some of you have seen my book, Hospital Parables, the story of my front office to bedside in hospitals for 48 years. This isn't to sell books. This is just that parables are an incredibly simple and profound way to teach. Even though the religious ones, the Pharisees, couldn't understand them. Jesus was, his disciples asked him, why are you teaching in parables? It's the hidden treasures, the hidden pearls of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven, is the primary or penultimate teaching of the parables. It's about the kingdom of God. Even though we look at different ones, we look at the wheat and the tares, well, that's eschatology too. That's about the kingdom of God. We think of the kingdom of God is our King, Jesus, being present now and then forever reigning. The term, or you've heard the phrase, already not yet. We already have the kingdom of God. God is here. Jesus is here. Jesus, his spirit lives within us. And so today we can take a deep breath, even though getting here might have been interesting, and know that Jesus is here. And so let his spirit teach today, and not my words, but his words be heard as we look at this wonderful parable of the workers in the vineyard. It is a described like other parables. I was looking at a kind of a funny quote. This ancient writer, Christian writer, said, you know, the parables and even a lot of the stories that we hear here are like a heap of unstrung pearls. Each one is a hidden treasure. And the Gospels string them all together until we see the wholeness of God. And so we need the complete, we need the all of the counsel of God in his word as we look at these parables. And this one, like the others, is both used as a work of art. They're a different genre, parables, and it's also a weapon. Yes, Jesus uses parables as a weapon against his opponents, and he had many. He had many, and his parables often struck with a sharp tongue for those who would be willing to listen and understand that they were walking outside of the kingdom of God and not willing to hear. So he said, for those who have ears to hear, I want to talk about the promises of the kingdom of God. I want to talk about the promises of what I give to all of those. Everyone is able to be in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is for everyone, he teaches. And so as we look at this, we think of the character of God. We think of the abundance of the kingdom. We think of the availability of the kingdom of God for all of us who would come. And this parable speaks of that in a fascinating way. And a parable, as we start out in Matthew 21 through 16, the only place where we see this particular parable is in Matthew. And it starts out, "For the kingdom of God is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire men to work in the vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into the vineyard." It's like the kingdom of God. And we've already heard described by Chris and Greg that he used simile often to try to have a common thing, a vineyard. A vineyard was very common, right? And the vineyard had all kinds of metaphoric definitions for it in Scripture. It has. And so as they went out in the vineyard, it is the kingdom of God, the presence of God, God's kingdom they're going out into. So the vineyard here is the kingdom of God as we look at it and go into this parable. And as we look at this, the landowner is obviously God. In his parable, so we don't capitalize landowner or any other thing that refers to something that may be the Lord, but God is trying to get the picture here of a landowner who went out very early. He owns it all. This is the whole kingdom of God, but this vineyard, we don't know how big it is. It's just a vineyard. And he agrees with the workers that he's going to pay them a certain price. It'll be a denarius, which is about how much a soldier is paid for a day. And it's not really that much until you get down to through this whole thing, and you find that those who only worked for an hour or even less got the same pay. And if you were figuring that out on an hourly basis, even in today's money, it'd be $100 an hour or better. But for those who worked the whole day, So we're going to be seeing some fascinating lessons, I think, in this. A key point we want to be looking at as we go through this parable is that God is gracious. God is generous. And these are two critical attributes of God. We'll see some 165 times in Scripture they're talked about. Graciousness and his manifold unmerited favor, right? We see that constantly. The gracious hand of God is on everyone who looks on him, but his great anger is against those who forsake him. That's in Ezekiel 8. And one of the things here, the gracious hand of God is for all of us, but those who forsake him. Now, the coming kingdom, now he wants to begin to show us the abundance, and he will come again in judgment. So he's trying to get across that, join me in this, it'll go better for you. Nehemiah said, "But in your great mercy, you did not put an end to them or abandon them, for you are gracious and merciful. The Lord is gracious and righteous," right? He longs to be gracious to you, Isaiah said. So it's a constant theme, and it is a theme here. Jesus is gracious. Even as he grew up, the little child Jesus, who's teaching here, we're told that he grew in wisdom and knowledge and strength and in the grace of God. He is God, but the grace of the Father continued to fill him more and more and more as he taught and on earth. And that grace that he received, he began to give back to show all of those on earth and his generosity. 40 times we hear about his generosity. There are about 46 parables here. It's not 40 times in the parables, but we read about generosity as a constant theme. So we read that they go out into the vineyard. And in verse 3, about the third hour, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace, doing nothing. So he brought these first guys in, the third hour, and we're going to see there's the third hour, the sixth hour, the ninth hour, and the 11th hour throughout this parable. He went out and brought some more in. I guess he needed more. And they're out standing, doing nothing in the courtyard. We'll get through this parable and I'll begin to figure out what does it mean? They're just standing around doing nothing? Is that's what people do? They just stand around doing nothing. Huh. So he goes out and he told them, you also go. Go and work in the vineyard and I will pay you whatever is right. So they went. You're going to notice the word go. As you were studying this, each time he finds more workers, he says, go. Go out into the vineyard. You might read that as Jesus' final words as he ascended into heaven. Go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them all I have commanded you and taught you, right? So, go. There's something about the kingdom of heaven here that's beginning to be pretty clear. So he tells them to go out and work in the vineyard. I'll pay you whatever is right. And then he went out again at the sixth hour and the ninth hour. He did the same thing, that is the landowner. And then the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing. And they're standing around. He asked them, why have you been standing around all day and doing nothing? Because no one has hired us, they answered. And he said to them, you also go and work in my vineyard. So he asked more and more people standing out there. And I don't know if he knew he needed more people or he was just telling us he brought everyone from the marketplace, all those who were standing there, all those who were supposedly doing nothing. And he brought them all in. And this last bunch, and this is something, interestingly, while I was out of town, I couldn't get any email, but I found one email when we were coming back. And it was from Chris, and he shared this fascinating thought about these last people. He brought all these people who wanted to work. I could just see them as he looked, and it was almost like Samuel going out to Jesse's family, and he was going to pick the next king. And he looked at these guys, and there's a big man. He's a strong man. He's 6'4". He's a strong man. I'll take him first. I'll take him next. And God kept telling him, no. Until he gets down to this little guy. Well, wait a minute. Is your whole family here? And he brings in David. And David's just the little shepherd boy. And he picks him for king. And there's a very interesting and important, powerful message of the kingdom here. Nobody has chosen us. And the note from Chris, and as I read on here, who are these people who are not chosen? I think they're those who are unwanted in our society. They're the weak. They're the disabled. They're the people who are not strong. They're the people who are standing there just as everyone else is trying to find work. These are not the entitlement people. These are not the people who expect the government to pay for them. These are the people who want to work but they can't. They are the poor, and I wonder what our role is in that. Jesus says, I will bring them in too. I want them in the kingdom. I want them to come and work. They may not be able to work as much as the others, so he picks them last. And he picks them last because in the kingdom, the last will be first. And so there's a tremendous key to this parable that has a number of keys or lessons in it. It is for everyone. I am generous. I will give. I will pay you. I am gracious. And I want all of you here. And I want to give you the abundance of the kingdom, all of you. And the last will be first. They were all willing, interestingly. Nobody has chosen us. They were willing. And God wants us all to be willing and to come into the kingdom and work. The vineyard is the kingdom of God. We are all called. We are all called to something. Are we pruning grapevines? We're pruning ourselves. God says in John 15 about the grapevines, right, that as he prunes us, we bear more fruit. We're picking fruit. We're picking fruit of the kingdom, and the picking the fruit is the harvest of the fruit, the harvest of those who would also come into the kingdom. So God wants this vineyard picked. He wants them working. Some nearly 600 times in Scripture, God speaks about work. Work is good. All work is good. All people should be working. We should find ways to help people work and for us to be working in the kingdom and doing something prosperous for the kingdom. God doesn't like sluggards, those who won't work, right? I like that word, sluggard. I don't want to be one of those. Work, be willing, whatever you do, do it unto the Lord, he says, as if unto the Lord. All the work that we do, we read in Colossians. So, he hires these, you might call them outcasts. He hires these folks. I don't know if they're the prodigal. We've all been prodigals at some point. But he wants us all into the kingdom, and he wants to show us his grace. He hired them for the same wage. And that's an interesting point here, that he wants to, there is no Greek, no Jew, no one special. All of us are his and loved by him, and he wants to give us all generously. And I see here that his generosity is one that is boundless. All good and perfect gifts come down from heaven, we read in James. We were just studying in James, and that there is no shadow of turning in the Lord, we read in James 1:17. His gifts, his love, his generosity are perfect. And if we test him, he will open up the floodgates for us, as he tells us in Malachi. And he will pour out his blessing upon us. So that it's as if there's almost not enough room for it all. He wants us to open up our floodgates, our generosity as well. He is showing us generosity so we will also be generous in return. This was, I've not been a generous person through life. And when I think about generous, okay, maybe I'm serving the Lord in capacities that he's called me to. But I've held on to money. And I'm reading this parable. I've been reading this parable for, you know, since we started talking about it over and over again. And I've been convicted of my being a skinflint or some of my Scottish roots or whatever. I don't know where that one came from, but I am finding that as I become more generous, that there's a sense of peace that comes to me, that I'm being obedient, that God's generosity is a generosity He wants us to have for the God loves the cheerful giver. And as we give joyfully, I think God fills us. And as I read this parable, I found myself feeling a sense of peace that God will fill our storerooms. He will give us, if it was taken from us twice, what the locusts have stolen, but it's all His. And as we give it away, we'll be filled even more. So this is a wonderful parable that tells us that our absolute dependence is upon God. He calls us in. They were doing nothing, meaning we are nothing without Him. We need Him. He will provide for us. He will provide for every one of us, and that it'll be generous and it'll be full of grace, and that His mercy endures forever. And that we, too, are to go out in that kingdom and work and provide that same kind of love, generosity, grace, without complaining. And I had that one thought, because these guys who had started first were complaining that, kind of like, how dare you pay these guys who worked an hour the same as we were receiving. And that also was something that got to me deeply, that God hates complaining. God hates grumbling. Look at all of the Israelites in the desert. They all perished because of their complaining and grumbling. And God, they said, well, why would you do that? Well, because God owns it all, and by His grace and mercy, we need to trust that He knows exactly what is right, and that we should receive what we agreed upon. Some would say, well, we deserve no mercy at all. But he agreed upon this price with these guys. And they were like the nine lepers that ran away after being healed and were not thankful. They griped instead. There's not one who is particularly thankful in this parable, like the leper parable, but I suspect those who received the same pay, who were finally chosen, were probably the most grateful. But He wants us to be grateful always, because He is always good. And so as we wrap this up, there are so many questions we could talk about in our groups about God's generosity and His grace. What is the kingdom of God? Where is the kingdom of God? And generosity, how do we practice that? How do we do that? So let us give our thanks and all of our thanks to God for the indescribable gift of Jesus and His teachings. And let's go from here and enjoy our conversation. Amen.